whether or not you feel like it, he's worthy. Yeah. Aren't you glad God doesn't bless based on how we feel in the day? Hear these words today from the book of Hebrews. In the first and second chapters, as we focus on communion today. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Reads this way. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven, and shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. And furthermore, chapter 2, verse 5, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with the glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus. For a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters, for he said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people." The word of God for the people of God. Let every heart pray. Lord, we're ever so grateful to be able to stand again behind this sacred desk and declare to men, women, boys, and girls what it is you have to say. God, we pray even now that you would empty me out of myself, strengthen my body for this moment, that as I speak, Lord God, you may be glorified. That your children, Lord God, who wait to hear from you, your people, Lord God, who you've called by your name, who sit desperately in need of a word from you, God, might indeed hear from you and not from me. Lift up bowed down heads, encourage hearts, call somebody today to come to know you as Savior and Lord, but whatever you do, Lord God, however you do it, be glorified in this moment. We will be thankful and give your name the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so it's Communion Sunday. And it's fitting for me to return to the pulpit on Communion Sunday because I've had a lot of time laying on my back to reflect about what's important, to reflect on my own journey, whether I, in fact, am doing what God called me to do. And in effect, when you ask those kinds of questions, you get very quickly to questions about what are your priorities? Upon what are you focused? What are those things you wake up thinking about? What are those things you go to bed worrying about? If you think about what you do in all of your waking hours, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, what's the purpose of going from here to there and doing this, that, and the third thing? Am I the only one in the sanctuary who's busy all day, every day? We have stuff to do, people to see, appointments to keep, tasks to perform, assignments to complete. We are busy people. One of the things that became clear to me is that everything I do in my busyness during the day, and watch out for this, I think I'm doing ministry all day. But everything I do during the course of the day is about some people. There's a certain dangerous arrogance that comes, that can come if you're not careful, to doing God's work. If you're built like me and you love people, most of the time anyway, and when you're called to love people who are not even lovable, your focus can quickly become on the people rather than the God who sent you to do the work. So one of the things I've recognized about myself is that I spend too much time thinking about people. Please don't get me wrong. It is a good thing that we pay attention to people. It is a good thing that for me to come to the humble realization that people really do love me. Yeah. I felt like, y'all remember when Sally Fields won an Academy Award? They like me. They really like me. I was feeling that way while I was trying to recover from this back surgery. And it is a distinct blessing when you are ill and feel isolated in a way that people reach out to you to let you know that you're still in the midst of their thoughts and prayers and in their hearts. It's a very good thing that when people let you know that they are praying for you, that you're on their minds and in their hearts. And so I'm not talking today about what we do for people. I want to talk today about our motivation for the work we do with people. And I guess if you don't hear anything else I have to say today, hear this, that if what you're doing for people is motivated by anything else, then focus on the God who sent Jesus Christ to die for people. You are the worst kind of idolater. I'm leaving that sit out there, because I want that to sit in your lap. I know it's heavy. And as it sits on your lap, I'm hoping that you squirm a little bit. See, it's one thing to be not focused on God. God, the creator, who stepped out on nothing and spoke and everything came into existence, deserves our attention all day, every day. If you stop focusing on God, you can stop focusing on your life, because if God simply blinks his eye or turns his attention from you on any day, you become vapor and smoke and you're not even here. Much less having power to live and move and have your being. But I'm not talking about just lack of focus. Here's the danger in us, right? When we don't focus on God, our gaze automatically turns inward. And we start focusing on us. And why it's the worst kind of idol, it is a situation where we begin to replace the God that we're supposed to serve by becoming our own God. Working for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I recognize I'm I'm guilty. I go from can to can't. And when I can't, I still can. Get home 10 o'clock, 10:30. Out of house early in the morning, running here and there, doing, talking, relating, focusing on person after person. But if my motivation becomes the work with the people and not about the God who has sent me, I am off course. Off course, near death and destruction. More importantly, I would say, I am somewhere where I cannot bless even the very people I purport to love. Why? Because if my focus is not on God, I do not have the power of the Holy Ghost to do a thing. And so Paul writes this text. It's not the first time it's happened. He writes to the Hebrews this because folks were guilty of it even then. And I think about how subtle and pernicious this is. And watch my comparison. How many thought this week and last week and the week before about Brett Kavanaugh? There's hardly anyone under the sound of my voice who doesn't know who that name is. How many people have spent time thinking about the man who was the 45th president of these United States? I ain't calling his name on purpose because he likes that better than anything else in the world. How much time have you spent thinking even about your ailing pastor who hasn't been in the pulpit? If I haven't come to your pew, let me get next to you. How much time have you spent thinking about you? Paul quotes Psalm 8. Hear this. For what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visiteth him? Who are we to be focusing on anything else, y'all or me, or anybody else, but God? What man or woman, boy or girl, your husband, your wife, your boo, that brilliant son or that amazingly talented and beautiful daughter, what is it that makes them warrant more attention from you than the God who created and saves? Who are you that you're more mindful of yourself than you are of God? This is what happens when you get to lay around and think a little while. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is God asking that question in the Psalms? Why is Paul reiterating it here? Here's why. What we ought to be focusing on, according to this text, is what God did for us in Christ. Yeah. Listen to me. Nothing else matters. If you got the potential to make $30 gazillion tomorrow, if you keep an appointment, please don't get your pastor wrong. Go keep the appointment. But don't go until you figure out why God has sent it to you. Don't go before you consider all that you have before the $30 gazillion even comes to your lap. Don't go thinking that that $30 gazillion came to you because you're beautiful or intelligent or powerful. It's just a manifestation of the grace of the God who had his son die on a cross for you. What is man that we're mindful of man? Which one among all those people that we think about and pay attention to every day died for you? I know you've been married a long time, but and your husband or your wife loves you. They've demonstrated it, and you've demonstrated your love to them. But in Christ, it does not matter. Amen. Because nobody can do you like Jesus. Amen. Think about the scandal of it. As you compare the attention you paid to whatever human being you pay attention to, or set of human beings you pay attention to. That the God who created us loved us so much as his creation that he sent to us his only begotten Son. Not created, but begotten of the Father. You know the difference between how you feel about your kids and somebody else's. How many times did your mother tell you? They ain't raised in this house. Jesus was raised as the Son of the God of the universe. You don't know anybody with those kind of credentials. Amen. Only one was created in all of eternity by God. Only one was begotten of God. Only one has the substance of God. And God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten Son, one of a kind in eternity, to become human like us. So he could feel what we feel. Be inadequate the way we're inadequate, suffer the sin that he did not commit, and die on our behalf. Not just feel it, but pay for sin that he did not commit. I know it was the blood for me. What does it mean to us that that happened for us? Because here's what God thinks of it. If you think, Pastor, what's the big deal about this? Why are we paying attention to it? Here is what God says about it. Because Jesus humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. Didn't have to do it, but took on sin on purpose. Imagine yourself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Finally realizing what your Heavenly Father is trying to do and praying until sweat like drops of blood is coming from your brow. Saying, all right, I see what you're trying to do, but Lord, I ain't feeling this no more. Let this cup pass from me. And the only recorded time in history that God told his Son no is on that prayer ground. I brought you this far. You got a purpose. You have to die. Imagine the sense of abandonment that Jesus feels in that moment. If that's not enough for you, let's go to Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And still, he hangs his head in the locks of his shoulders and chooses to lay down. Nobody killed him. He laid down his life for the likes of you. What is man that you're mindful of him? You got on white jeans or blue jeans. You fashionable. You got holes in them now. I'm not even going down that road. But look, do y'all know how many patches my mother put on? On my brother's jeans so I could wear them again? Because it was a shame to be seen with holes in your jeans. And folks walking around with fashionable... I'm a dinosaur. What are we worried about how much our suit costs and how big our hat is and how big our bank account is and what kind of house we live in or what kind of car we... Why do we care who likes us or who doesn't like us? Why do we care what kind of job we have or don't have? Why do you eat so much when God is provided? What is it? That you're mindful of people. Why are you scared to go talk to some people and would rather talk to some other people? Who are you to think that somebody's better than you? Worse yet, who are you to think that you're better than somebody else? What is man? That you're mindful of him. Instead, God is saying, focus on me. God is saying, keep the main thing, the main thing. Nobody out here can say about you what I say about you because I've created you. I love you. I've given my life for you. God is saying, why are you focused on anything but me? Nobody here will die for you, and I've already done it. And here's how God thinks about it. Because Jesus humbled himself, gave himself up for this. Didn't have to do it. Andre Crouch, I don't know why you love me, but I'm so glad. You did. God says this, that I will exalt him because of the humility that he showed and give him a name that's above every other name. You talk about some singular focus. If God pays this kind of attention to Jesus, why do we not pay attention? In what ways are you paying attention to Jesus? When's the last time you opened your Bible? When commanded to give, one out of every 10 or whatever you get, are you paying attention to Jesus? Let me go over on this side, focus on him. When the spiritual leader of your church asks you to give something extra, how come your name is not written among those who give? Worried about I. Worried about what you can give for yourself. Worried about what you think you have, and even if you have it, God can take it away tomorrow. How many have read the book of Malachi? Bring all your tithes to the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. God had already dried the crops up. You think your bank account can't go to zero? You think you ain't got no money now? Keep on fooling with God. Keep on running around and never crack your Bible open to hear what God says about your life. Keep on living your life and never bowing your knee to pray and talk to the God who's given you life and health and strength. Keep on ignoring God. God himself pays particular focus to Jesus Christ so much that God gives him a name that's above every other name because of his sacrifice before God on our behalf. God is asking us not to sacrifice our lives, but to sacrifice something because of how good God has been. And let me press my case about God. God just doesn't give him any other name because there's only one name that's above every other name. It is the name of God himself. The teacher in seminary, there's a Jewish name for God, a Hebrew name for God. They call it the Tetragrammaton. In our transliterated English, it's YHWH. They don't put vowels in the middle of it so nobody can pronounce it. Because if you don't pronounce it, you never take it in vain. God, because of what Jesus did, gave Jesus his own name. There's only one name that's above every other name. Where now it says that at the name of Jesus. Somebody ain't hearing this. Because his blood was shed and his body was broken. At the name of Jesus. Rose of Sharon. Lily of the Valley. At the name of Jesus. Somebody called him a wheel in the middle of a wheel. At the name of Jesus. Bright and morning star. At the name of Jesus. Bridge.
over troubled water. At the name of Jesus, my provider, my keeper, my healer, my salvation. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus all by himself is Lord of all. Why are you focusing on me? When the God of your salvation is calling your attention day after day, why aren't you looking at God?
Last thing I want to say on this. All of this has a purpose. Scripture here tells us, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many into glory. That's enough for me. Why are there empty seats in Emory Grove Sanctuary on Sunday? If everybody, every one of us is focusing on God. Because when we focus on God as Jesus did, many people come into glory.
Yes.
See, everything was going fine until the Roman soldiers nailed him to that cross on the ground and then lifted the cross. See, when you put the suffering and sacrifice of God before men, men begin to come to the place of that sacrifice. If your life is reflecting your focus on Jesus Christ, men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus.
Amen.
It's in your living. It's in your conversation. It's as you go by the way with your children. It's at work, at the water cooler. It's in parking lot conversations and telephone. Listen, it's on Facebook, Instagram,
Amen.
And Twitter.
Yes,
if Jesus is in you, the word of God pervades through you and the example of your life, and men and women and boys and girls come to Jesus because of the sacrifice of one, because of the focus of one, many come into his glory.
Yes.
Do you think this is your table? Is this the Emory Grove table? Only for people who came up in Emory Grove, a town that no longer really exists? Is it your family table? Is this a black table? Or is the God who created the universe, who sent his son to die for the world, opening up a table with enough seats for everybody? If we focus on Jesus, if we focus on Jesus, many, all them, come into glory.
Yes.
So you have a singular focus and a multiplicity of blessings. That's what Jesus calls us to. That's our work. I'm not saying go out of here and don't focus on people. God wants us to focus on people. That's the goal of Jesus' salvation. I'm just saying as you go, make Jesus your focus. When you focus on Jesus, God gives us the same power that he gave Jesus. That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Only the Holy Ghost can get you up out of a grave. I wish I had one witness in here. Anybody used to live in a grave in the sanctuary? Maybe I'm the only one who had grave clothes on at one time in my life, but at some time, God got me up out of my own grave and said, live. And he told people, take his grave clothes off and let him go. Loose him and let him go. So in the name of Jesus, I loose you to focus on the Christ that died for us. And I let you go to tell the world about his grace, his love and his mercy.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
As you stand to your feet.